Today's Shir's Masechta Megillah Daf Hey. We will begin on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara first just repeats the statement Rabbi Yeshua made in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Klal Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says the following rule. Kosha Yisro L'Shas Het L'Kahanim. Any carbon that became permitted to the Kahanim, Eimay Alamba, is no longer subject to Megillah. But any carbon that did not have such a moment, is still subject to Hilchus Me'ila. Explains Rabbi Yeshua, what is an example, what are examples that I had a time of permissibility? That all of these things happened after a certain point, which we'll discuss extensively in our coming shiurim. What is an example that it never became permissible to kahanim, and therefore remains susceptible to me'ila? Says the Gemara, Amlei ba'kapara l'ba'pados, ba'kapara set to ba'pados. Ben Achaisi, my nephew, Rei Mata Shaleini Mlamacha Beis HaMedrash. Let's be careful, and let's understand what we will discuss tomorrow in Yeshiva. As we just learned, Rabbi Yeshua taught us in the Mishnah, that there is a certain point in the processing of the carbon where the carbon no longer is subject to Hilchus Me'ila. But the question that he says is, what exactly is that point? Is it Heta Shechita Sheninu? Is it after the Shechita? Or Heta Zrika Sheninu? Is it after the Kabbalah? And the definition of the word Heta Zrika means that after the Kabbalah, Zrika may be done. And since Zrika may be done immediately after the Kabbalah, the halacha is Kol Oimed Lizrika Zarok Dami, something that's ready to be, have Zrika. The halacha looks at it as if Zrika already took place. Is it only after may be eaten? Which means only after the Zrika is it no longer subject to Hilchus Me'ila. And says the Gemara, Chizkia Amar, it is the opinion of Chizkia, Heta Shechita Sheninu, it's mutter after the Shechita. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Heta Chila Sheninu, it's only mutter after the Zrika. So Tosfos and the Rishonim point out that the wording that's being used in our Gemara is really not the same. Heta Shechita means that after the Shechita, there's no longer a Dinah Me'ila. What does Heta Zrika mean? It doesn't speak about the Zrika, it speaks about the Kabbalah. After the Kabbalah, when Zrika could take place, then there's no Me'ila. What does Heta Achila mean, as we said? After the Zrika. So the wording of the Gemara is not similar. So Taisa says that the reason the Gemara uses a different type of wording by Shechita as it does versus what it does by Kabbalah and Zrika is because the halacha is that if Kabbalah or Zrika were done improperly, then they're not valid. Shechita, even if it wasn't done improperly, doesn't completely always disqualify the carbon. So to show and make that point, the Gemara uses a different type of wording. But there are mafarshim that take a different approach to this question. The Achrayim, as we see in our Gemara, we're going to be spending quite a while discussing this issue, today's shir, tomorrow's shir, try to understand the Gemara's questioning the three different times that could possibly be the moment where there's no longer a Dinah Me'ila. Shechita, Kabbalah, Zrika. What is the significance of each of these points? So the Midrash Tavit first considers that it's Gzeiras HaKasev, it's based on Pesukim. Then he says that, no, we know one of the rules that we will still, in Mitzvah Shem, still discuss extensively in our Masechta, is Ein L'chadava Shenasas Mitzvosoi, there is no situation where a mitzvah has been accomplished, Umayalambay, that it's still subject to Me'ila. So what we see from that statement is that once the mitzvah is finished, there's no longer any me'ila. And he says what the Gemara's question hinges on is at what point is the mitzvah finished? Is it after the Shechita? Is it after the Kabbalah? Particularly if we say Kolayim Lizrik Zaruk Dami, or is it after the Zrika? Other Achroinim say a different shot. They say that when we speak about Shechita, what does Shechita accomplish? Shechita accomplishes that you separate the meat from the blood. And really when you speak about a carbon, the part that's used for the carbon is the, especially if it's, unless it's a carbon oil, it's the blood, not the meat. So since Shechita is the act that separates the meat from the blood, so that's why Shechita is the point where it's no longer subject to Mila. That's if you learn Heta Shechita. But if you learn Heta Zriko, you learn Heta Achila, it's a different lamdus altogether. The lamdus is because that's when you finish your mitzvah. So according to this approach of the Achroinim, what Shechita accomplishes versus what Kabbalah and Ailoch accomplish, and that's why there's a consideration what is or isn't the moment of Mila, are very different issues. And therefore, to make that point, the Gemara uses different type of wording by Achila versus Kabbalah and Zrika. Then the Rishonim, Taisus and Rishonim ask a question. According to the Manda Omer, according to the opinion that we just learned, Chizki's opinion, that as soon as Shechita is done, it's no longer subject to Mila. So we have a question. Let's learn our Mishnah again. We learned in our Mishnah, one of the first cases, that the Shechita was done properly, B'tzofen, and then the Zrika, the Kabbalah, was done in the Bedarim, it's still subject to Mila. But why? If the Shechita was done properly, according to that opinion, once you have the Shechita done properly, it's no longer subject to Mila. So why does our Mishnah say it's still subject to Mila? Taisus is a kasha. The Sfasemis, before I say Taisus is Teretz, Sfasemis says, you know why? Because our Mishnah is speaking about a carbon oiler. And the carbon oiler makes no difference, because as we discussed in the previous year, a carbon oiler, since the basar remains kach Hashem, it's always subject to Mila, it makes no difference. Taisus says a chiddush. Taisus says that the case of our Mishnah speaking about when they started the Shechita, but he didn't complete the Shechita, and then they did the Kabbalah in the wrong place. So when is there a halacha that, according to Chizkiya, that once the Shechita is done, the halacha is that it's no longer subject to Mila? That's if the Shechita was completed properly. Here, before they finished the Shechita, they already did Kabbalah improperly, Bedarim, and therefore that Shechita doesn't take away the din of Me'ila. And the Achroinim find Taisus Pshat, not the practical application of the Pshat, because that could be practically understood, where you had a cup to accept the blood right by the slit, so as soon as it starts bleeding, you have dam. But they find the concept fascinating, because we know, we've discussed this Baruch Hashem many times, that a carbon has four steps, Shechita, Kabbalah, Ailoch, Zrika. And we've always learned that they go with a sequence. You do the Shechita, then you do the Kabbalah, then you do the Halacha, then you do the Zrika. Now we're learning the Gevaldige Chiddush, that you don't have to finish the Shechita for the Kabbalah to be acceptable. And there are Achronim that find Taisus Pshat very interesting. And in fact, that's one of the reasons the Sfas Emes says his Pshat, not like Taisus, even though the Sfas Emes Pshat has with it its own difficulty, because our Mishnah, the name of our Perek, begins with the words Kachi Kachim. And now the Sfas Emes is saying that our Mishnah is speaking only about carbon oila. Kachi Kachim isn't only oila. But he can't accept Taisus's Pshat, because how could the Shechita be considered a valid Shechita if the Kabbalah be considered a valid Kabbalah if the Shechita hasn't been finished? So I saw that the Stipler explains Taisus's opinion. He says, normally, of course, the halacha is that every step has to be completed before the next step begins. But, as I said a few moments ago, what is the entire purpose of the carbon? The entire purpose of the carbon is to get the dam. So since the entire purpose of the carbon is to get the dam, it doesn't make a difference to me if I finished or didn't finish the Shechita. As long as I get access to the dam, that's the main goal. And therefore, Kabbalah could take place even before the Shechita is completed. Of course, the Mefarshim say an issue that we discussed in Masechta Chulin. There's a question of Yeshta L'Shchita Metchil V'Asayif or Ein L'Shchita El L'Psayif. At what moment is it considered a Shchita? In order for Taisvus Tarot to work, we have to hold Yeshta L'Shchita Metchil V'Asayif that from the beginning of the act of Shchita, it's already considered a Shchita. But then Taisvus asks another question. Let's think about the next case of the Mishnah. The next case of the Mishnah was where the Shchita was done by day and the Zrika was done by night. So again, Taisus asks the question. If according to the man Da'amid that says, Heter Shchita Sheninu, and as soon as Shchita was done properly, the animal is no longer, the carbon is no longer subject to Mila, so why does the Mishnah say that if you did the Shchita by day and you did the Zrika by night, it's subject to Mila? You did a proper Shchita. That's all you need. So Taisus says, also interesting teretz, that the case of the Mishnah speaks about a case where you did Shchit in the last minute of the day. And there's not going to be any way to do Kabbalah by day, because it's the last second of the day. When does this man, the Omer, say as Taisus hold, that if you did the Shchita properly, that's enough? That's only if it would have been possible to do a Kabbalah and Zrika also properly. But when you did the Shchita in a way, in a time, where it's going to be impossible to do the Kabbalah and Ailacha properly, then he will agree that we don't rely just on the Shchita to remove the Halacha Mila. The next opinion we learned was Heter Zrika Sheninu, which means that as soon as the Kabbalah was done, even though the Zrika wasn't done, this opinion holds Kolay Melizra Kazaruk Dami. Ask Taisvus in the Rishonim. This issue of Kolay Melizra Kazaruk Dami or not is an issue that we find, a machlekes that we find throughout Shas. It's primarily a Gemara in Masechta Menachos. The Gemara in Masechta Menachos says that a carbon, until it's finished being processed, is not subject to Tumas Eichlan. And the Gemara brings that a machlokes of Shimon Rabbanan. If an animal, if a carbon is ready to have Zrika, but it didn't actually have Zrika, is it considered like it had Zrika or not? Rav Shimon said, Kol Ayim Elizrik Kazaruk Dami. Button hold, Kol Ayim Elizrik Lav Kazaruk Dami. So Taisus finds it fascinating that if the opinion of Heter Zrika is, and as we'll keep on seeing this in the Shem and the Gemara, is so dependent on the concept of Kalayim Elizur Kazaruk Dami, and it's locked into that Machlaikus of Shimon Rabbanan, how come our Gemara doesn't mention that Machlaikus? And moreover, as we will see in our Shiurim, the Gemara tries to use a Brises where Rav Shimon's opinion, not in this subject, is mentioned, but Rav Shimon holds Kalayim Elizur Kazaruk Dami. So how does the Gemara not mention it? So Taisus answers, the concept of Kol Ayim Elizur Kazaruk Dami, as far as Hilchus Me'il is concerned, and the concept of Kol Ayim Elizur Kazaruk Dami, as far as Tumas Eichlin is concerned, are two totally different concepts, and they don't travel together at all. And you can hold Kol Ayim Elizur Kazaruk Dami by Eichlin, and not by Me'ila, or vice versa. And the way I saw that the Achroinim explain it is because what we need the Zrika to accomplish by Tumas Eichlin, and what we need the Zrika to accomplish by Mila is something different altogether. By Mila we need that the mitzvah should have been done. Because once the mitzvah is done, there's no Mila anymore. If you said a few moments ago. By Tumas Eichlin, the concept has nothing to do with a mitzvah. Tumas Eichlin is not connected to a mitzvah. Tumas Eichlin is connected to a matir. Is it an Eichel or is it not an Eichel? So since these are two totally different inyanim issues, the machlokes don't travel together. There is a machlokes rishonim. We'll speak about it more later in the perek. That says that even though we have this question, which we're going to be analyzing, at what point of the process is the carbon no longer subject to Hilchus Mila? That's only by carbon of behema. But by an oif, by bird that's processed totally differently, everybody will agree that it's only after the Zrika. Furthermore, the Achroinim say, we spent two shiurim discussing the opinion of Rav Gidla Merav. Rav Gidla Merav, we learned in the previous year, the year before that, said that if the shechita and the zrika were done with a machsheves pigel, then the animal remains subject to hilchos meila. So they say it's clear that even though we're having a debate now, we're having a discussion now, at what point does the animal lose its susceptibility to hilchos meila, that isn't according to Rav Gittel. Rav Gittel, who put so much emphasis, as we learned, on the zrika, wasn't with the pigel, wasn't with pigel, clearly holds that it's the zrika that's the point that makes the difference if it is or isn't any longer subject to mila. So that's our question. Amrav Zeika, Daika Masnisen, if you learn our Mishnah well, you will see the like Yechizkiah, the like Rav Chanan Yochanan, that the Mishnah is clearly not following the opinion of Yechizkiah or Rav Yochanan. Could we just read at the beginning of our shir that it says in our Mishnah, Tanan, Shalana v'shenitmas v'yatzis, that all of these are situations that are considered that it was already mutter and no longer subject to hilchos me'ila. Lav, is it not a situation, the London, that the dam had lina prior to the zrika? And even though it had lina prior to the zrika, V'ktani ein me'alamba, that it's still not subject to me'ila. So what do we see from here? As long as the Kabbalah was done properly, as long as the Kabbalah was done properly, it doesn't make a difference if the zrika was or wasn't done properly. Shmamina het zrika shninu. That all that counts, het zrika shninu is another way of saying that the Kabbalah was done properly, and all that counts is that the Kabbalah should be done right. So as the Rishonim point out, this Gemara that we're learning now clearly refutes the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan says you have to have zrika. And here it seems that you don't have to have zrika. Does it refute also the opinion of Chizkiah? So yes, they say, according to Chizkiah, the Mishnah could have said a bigger chiddush, that as long as you had shechita, but it's not as obvious that it refutes his opinion. Answer the Gemara, it isn't a compelling proof. Loi, the lombosser. The Mishnah doesn't mean that the dam was left over and didn't have a proper zrika. Aval dam is darak. On the contrary, what the Mishnah means is that the bossa had lina, but the dam had a proper zrika, and since the dam had a proper zrika, mishamachik tani, that's why the Mishnah indeed could tell us that since it had a proper zrika, emi alambay, it's not subject to mila. And as Tosfos explains, what's the Havamin and what's the Maskana of the Gemara? Because since the last part of the Mishnah, which we're about to learn right now, the Shekibul Psulim Vizarku Estamai, clearly speaks about the dam, so that's why the Gemara and the Havamina assume that the earlier line of Lon also speaks about the dam. And if that line speaks about the dam, it's a ride that all you need to have is a proper Kabbalah. To which the Gemara says, yes, as we're about to discuss right now, Kiblu Psulim V'Zarku Stamoy is clearly speaking about the dam, but that doesn't mean that Lon speaks about the dam, Lon speaks about the Bosser. So Gemara continues. Tanan, in trying to analyze and identify what is the moment that takes away Mila, Shechita, Kabbalah, Zrika, we learned further in our Mishnah, as we read at the beginning of today's shir, what is an example that didn't have a shas akosher, and therefore the carbon remains subject to ilchus me'ila? These are all examples where the carbon remains subject to ilchus me'ila. Ask the Gemara, what does this line mean? Let's again read the words. The Gemara is going to be spending trying to understand this line. Hey chidami, exactly what does this line mean? Ilam the zarku psulim the kiblu psulim, that both the Kabbalah and the zrika were done by disqualified people. Says the Gemara, lam liyadi katarti. As soon as the Kabbalah was done improperly, it's going to be remained subject to mila. Why must the Mishnah speak about Shekiblu psulim v'zarku ustamai, that both were done by psulim? Elalav, how must we understand this line? That the Mishnah is teaching us The Kabbalah psulim. The Kabbalah was done improperly. And the Mishnah is teaching us that once the Kabbalah was done improperly, even though the Zarkuk Sherim, the Zrika could have been done properly afterwards. It makes no difference. At that point, K'tani, our Mishnah teaches us, Mayalambay, it's subject to Mi'ilah. Why? Because Shema Minahat Zrika Shaninu. The defining moment is the Kabbalah, and the Mishnah is teaching us that if the Kabbalah was done properly, then it would not be subject anymore to Hilchos Mi'ilah. If it was not done properly, it was done by people who are not qualified to do it, it will remain subject to Mi'ilah. So it seems that this line, the way the Gemara is defining it, that the Mishnah, when it says the line, a kibble psul of Zarkus Tama, means that the Kabbalah was done properly, that the Kabbalah was done improperly, and the Shrik was done properly, shows us that the defining moment is Kabbalah. Ask the Gemara, Maskula Rabbi Yosef. Ask Rabbi Yosef, Isak adatach ikle flugi hachi. So, a word of introduction, two words of introduction. The first word of introduction is what the Gemara has done now is something unconventional. The Pasha Pshat of the words, Kibbul Psulim Vizarkus Damai, means that Psulim did both the Kabbalah, the disqualified individuals, did both the Kabbalah and Zrika. But in order to say Pshat in the Mishnah, we had no choice but to say that it does, don't define it like you think it should be defined. Don't explain it like you think it should be explained. Rather explain it. It means kibul psulim, the psulim did the Kabbalah, and the zrika was done by others, by kosher people. Another point of introduction. There's a din in the Torah. We learned it together in Masechet Zvachim, Daf Tzadik Beis, Daf Tzadik Gimel. The Torah says that if somebody is working with a carbon chatas, and blood of that carbon chatas splatters on his clothing, the halacha is that he has to, chabas is begadav, those clothing have to be washed, but makam kaddish in the azara. But as we're about to learn, the Torah, the Mishnah explaining, the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Mishnah explaining what the Torah says, the only time that that requirement is there is if A, the dam is kosher dam, it's valid dam. If it's posel dam, that din doesn't apply. And B, it has to be while we're still in the middle of processing the carbon chatas. But if we have completed the processing of the carbon chatas, that din doesn't apply. So it says the Gemara, Maskula Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef, V'sakadatak ikil flugi hachi, that when the Mishnah uses the words shkibul psulim v'zarkus damai, it's lav dafka, you don't necessarily have to explain it as you think, as the words seem to mean. Hadat nan hasam. The Mishnah says in Masechet Zvachim, chatas psula, when we speak about a chatas which is disqualified, ain't dama ta'an kibbus. The halacha that we just mentioned, that if blood splatters, it must be, the beged must be washed out, doesn't apply. And the Mishnah continues to say, whether the Karmach Hattas had a Shas Kosher and then became disqualified, or Ben Shloi Oisloi Shas Kosher V'Nifsla, or whether it didn't have such a Shas Kosher, the Halach of Kibbutz will not apply. And continues the Mishnah to explain what it meant. Ezu Shoisloi Shas Kosher V'Nifsla, what does it mean that it had a Shas Kosher? Shaloyna V'Shenitma Oshiyotza. That the carbon was processed properly, and after it was processed properly, at that point, the dam becomes disqualified, that dam need not be washed out. Continues the Mishnah. Ezu shloi hoislo shasa kosher. What is the definition that it didn't have a shasa kosher? Shenishch the chutzim kaim chutzlos manoi. It was made with the shlita was done when a machshavas pigel. And here we go further. V'shekibul psulim v'zarkus dama. And now the Mishnah there uses the exact same words that we had in our Mishnah. Kibul psulim v'zarkus dama. And now again, the Gemara tries to understand, what do those words mean? Hechidame. What does that mean? Ilema, if we're going to say that the Mishnah there means to teach us, the Kiplu Psulim Vizarka Psulim, that both the Kabbalah and the Zrika were done by disqualified individuals, which would seem to indicate that since disqualified individuals did the Kabbalah and the Zrika, That's why this carbon is disqualified. And since the carbon is disqualified, the halach is ein damata on kibbutz. There is no requirement for kibbutz. What would be the deek? That kablu of a zakuk shera, that if the right people did the kabbalah and the zrika, then damata on kibbutz, then kibbutz would be required. That the Mishnah is trying to contrast between when the kabbalah and zrika were done by psulim versus when it was done by ksherim. But that isn't true. Because krikan, haven't we said in our introductory remarks that if the kabbalah and the zrika were done properly, so the karmichatas processing has been completed properly, that there's no halach of kibbutz anymore. Krikan, hasn't the Torah taught us ashiyaz medama? Only blood that still needs to be sprinkled has a chiyuv. If that blood splatters on your beged, you need to wash it. El lav dafka. How must we say that even though the Brice used, Mishnah used the words kablu v'zakua, and we think it means kabbalah and zrika apsulim, that isn't the way to say it means. Because then the Mishnah is not telling us anything. We're going to say that the kabbalah was done by psulim, the zrika was done by ksherim, and the Brishta is teaching us that even though the kabbalah was done by, that once the kabbalah was done by disqualified individuals, that blood need not be washed out. So we see that how are we defining the words? That even though the Mishnah uses the words kablua psulim, v'zarkus damai, which everyone reading the words at first glance would say it means that the kabbalah and zrika were done by psulim, that isn't the way to understand that Mishnah, because then the Mishnah makes no sense. Rather, how do we understand that the kabbalah was done by psulim and the zrika was done by ksherim? Hachinami, and even though it's not, and we're turning the word sort of lav dafka. Hachinami, here too lav dafka. That even though the Mishnah is teaching us the words kablu psulim v'zarkus damai, don't define those words as you would think you should. That it means that the kabbalah and zrika were done by psulim, because as we said earlier, that doesn't make sense. Rather, it means that the kabbalah and the kabbalah was done by psulim, the zrika was done by ksherim. But the Mishnah is teaching us that as soon as the kabbalah was done improperly, that carbon will always remain subject to hilchos me'ilah, because hetas zrika shenina. So what the Gemara has done, and this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, most Rishonim learn the Gemara this way. This is what we're going to learn the Gemara. The Gemara is using the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim as a precedent to the Mishnah in Masechta Me'ilah. That just like the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim teaches us these words, and there's no way to explain these words other than making them lav dafka, so too must we do in Masechta Me'ilah make these words lav dafka. Amar Rav Asi Imkei Lama L'misnitarti. So the way I always explain this Gemara is as follows. What's happening in this Gemara is fascinating. What are the most fundamental approaches, what are the most fundamental rules we have as we approach learning Torah, is that every word is very precise. And now what we've done is we have two Mishnayis, a Mishnah Masechta Zvachim and a Mishnah Masechta Me'ilah, that have words that we're saying are lav dafka, that are imprecise. And as the Rishonim explained, if one of the Mishnayis have the words written precisely, then it wouldn't bother us so much that the other Mishnah is imprecise. Because they used to learn Torah Shebal Peh. They had to remember a lot of Mishnayis by heart. So Chazal tried to have the wording the Mishnayis as similar as possible, in order that it should be easier to memorize. So then we could understand why in one Mishnah it's dafka, and the other Mishnah could be lav dafka. But now we're saying that both Mishnayis that use these words are lav dafka. Two Mishnayis, why would we have a situation which is contrary to everything we believe in being lav dafka? And therefore now, before we go into the words of the Gemara, we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What does the Gemara try to accomplish? Rashi says that both Mishnayis, the words are precise. And our Mishnah's Taka coming to teach us the halacha that the defining moment is the Kabbalah, and that's the way to understand the Mishnah. And the way to understand the Mishnah over there is to teach us another issue, which we'll get into in a moment. That's how Rashi explains. So actually, according to Rashi, what we began the shiur with is ended. Our Mishnah uses these words, and the definition of these words are that the Kabbalah was done with Psulim, the Zrika was done with Ksheirim, to teach us this very halacha, that the defining moment is the Kabbalah. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that there's only one point learned. We're going to discuss it in a moment. And the question that we began the shiur with, what is the moment that makes the difference? What is the act that makes the difference if the carbon will still be or not be subject to chmila, is still left open? And Tosfos has a gevaldige raya. Because after we finish the piece of Gemara that we're about to learn, the Gemara continues in today's shiur, Be'ezer Hashem, and in tomorrow's shiur on Davav and Aleph, until we get to Davav and Beis, trying to answer this question. If Rashi is correct, that we have an answer to our question, and the defining moment is Kabbalah, so what's the Gemara continuing? It must be that it's not answered yet. So again, says the Gemara, Amar of Asi, Imke Lamali Lamisnetati. Why do we have to have two Mishnayis? How can we have two Mishnayis with Lav Dafka words? Says the Gemara, Olam the Mila Dafka. The Mishnah in Me'ila is being very careful, but not, and this is the way Tosfos learns, and I'll get to Rashi in a moment, but not to teach us the halacha of Me'ila. Not to teach us at what point Me'ila does or doesn't kick in or go away. The halacha is like this. Certainly, if somebody who's disqualified does an avodah, the way we'll explain it is as follows. If somebody who's a zor or a tamei does the Kabbalah, so everybody agrees that the blood in the cup that he did Kabbalah with is disqualified, it's possible. The question is, there's still blood left in the animal's neck. And the question is, what will be the status of that blood? Is that blood also disqualified, that it should no longer be able to be used for Zrika, for kosher Zrika, or not? And as the Brisker Rav explains the basis of the question, the Brisker Rav says the basis of the question is, how significant is the avoid of a Zor? How significant is the avoid of a Tomei? If it's somewhat significant, then it has the ability to disqualify the rest of the carbon. If it's insignificant, because who is he to do avoida, then it doesn't have the ability to disqualify the rest of the dam. And as the Rishayim also explained, the Pashta Nafkamina, as we just explained, is, will we be able to use the remaining blood in the neck for Zrikas Adam? But there are other Nafkaminas as well. Two other Nafkaminas I saw. One Nafkamina is that disqualified blood has to be poured out to the Oma, to the canal that ran out of the Azara. Blood that's not disqualified was poured on the Yesoid, on the base of the Mizbeach. So we need to know the status of the remaining blood, where should it be spilled, to the Oma or to the Yesoid. Another Nafkamina, the Rishonim say, goes back to what we just discussed a moment ago. The halacha is that blood that's usable for a carbon, that splatters, from a carbon chattis that splatters on the Kohen's Beged, has to be washed out. Blood that's disqualified need not be washed out. So we need to know the status of the Shrayim to teach us what will be its din as far as Kibbutz. So again, reading the Gemara as Tosfos reads the Gemara, that our Mishnah is coming to answer that din. And the Mishnah is coming to teach us that Afgav the Kibel Apostle, that even though the Kabbalah was done by Apostle, the Zorak the Kibel Kosher, Zorak Laf Klumi, my Tama, the Shrayim Lenu. The Mishnah is coming to answer that very question. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that the Avoida that's done by Yisrael will turn the rest of the dam in that carbon into Shrayim that cannot be used for any further Zrika that is done properly. So according to Tosfos, just to stop and now appreciate more what we said a few moments ago, Tosfos is saying that our Mishnah is using these words to teach us this din, the Psul Oysa Shrayim, and the Mishnah in Masechta Zvachim is lav dafka. But none of the Mishnayos speak to the issue that we began our shiur with, that at what point is the carbon loses susceptibility to me'ila. That's how Tosfos learns. Rashi learns differently. Rashi says that both Mishnayos have these words very precisely. Our Mishnah has come to teach us the din of Kabbalah, that Kabbalah is the moment that if it was done properly, it will not be subject to Mila. If it was done improperly, it will be subject to Mila. And the Mishnah in Zvachim is coming to teach us the din of Psul Isa Shrayim. But ask the Gemara, and this question is a question no matter if you follow Rashi's Pshat or Tosfos Pshat, whether it's the Mishnah Masechta Mila, or whether it's the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim that's teaching us this din, the Psul Isa Shrayim, ask the Gemara, Abayim Inei Rish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan. Isn't this an issue that Rish Lakish raised to Rabbi Yochanan? The psul mashiyas shrayim, that if a psul did Kabbalah, what does that do to the rest of the dam? Vamalei, and what was responded? Ein lecha davish as shrayim. The only time it becomes shrayim, it's chutz lezmana v'chutz mekaymai. If the carbon was done, if the zrika was done with a machshavas pigel, chutz lezmana v'chutz mekaymai. Why is the zrika have that power? A concept that we learned earlier in our parak, and that is since the zrika of pigel is such a strong power. Why? Because we know when the zrika of pigel is done, that's when the carbon is considered pigel. So that's why the zrika done by apostle also makes the dam into shrayim. And as the Rishonim make the point, that even though that's a din only by pigel of chutzlus manoi, it's not a din by chutzlum kaimai. I said this already in the first year on this Masechta. The Rishonim said that Chutzl M'Kaimai and Chutzl Zmanoi always travel together. And therefore we could understand and accept the Halacha by Chutzl Zmanoi, automatically that too will be the Halacha by Chutzl M'Kaimai. Hoyl Umratzna Begumen. Lav. What isn't what he's saying? Ba'am Riposel. What he's saying isn't what Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Rish Lakish. That only if the carbon was done with a Mechshevis Pigel, that's where there's a halacha that the rest of the dam becomes permanently disqualified. But if it was done by a disqualified individual, it wouldn't be that way. But we're saying, according to Rashi, the Mishnah Masechet Zvachim, according to Tosfos, the Mishnah Masechet Mila teaches us not like that. That the Mishnah Zvachim or Megillah or Meila are teaching us that if a apostle does, they avoid the dam, does become shrayim. Hakir Rabbi Yochanan, ignore those Mishnah, one, whichever one it is, that Mishnah. My la by my apostle. Says, well, no, that's not the way to understand what Rabbi Yochanan means. Loi, I feel apostle. Rabbi Yochanan will agree that if somebody disqualified does the zrika, it will affect the rest of the blood that it should be disqualified. But ask him, that isn't what he said. He said that that is the only case. Says, well, this is what Rabbi Yochanan means to say. Ein lecha davish einem eratz v'tzibur v'ayse shirayim. By a carbon tzibur, there's a difference than by carbon yachid. Why is there a difference between carbon tzibur and a carbon yachid? Because we know by tzibur, the halach is tumah hotra b'tzibur. So tumah is not considered such a serious issue by carbon tzibur. Because sometimes a carbon tzibur can be brought to tumah. That's why by carbon tzibur, the only thing that will make the rest of the blood disqualified if the zrika was done with chutz l'zman and chutz l'makai m'shavah. But other disqualifications, like mashvin shrayim, will not make shrayim. And now what the Gemara is saying is, tamei, that is not such a serious issue by tzibur, has a different rule. Other disqualification, since they're very significant, what's an example by carbon tzibur? A bal mum. And going back to the brisker rov's vort, since that avoida is such an insignificant avoida, it won't make a shrine. And the same thing, and that's when tamei. But the Mishnah that says that it makes shrine isn't talking about that type of a case. So we're back to our original question that we began our shiur with. We began the shiur with a question. What is the moment that after that moment, if it, that avoid is done properly, it's not subject to pigal anymore? What is that moment? So the Gemara wants to bring a raya from the following brisa. Ha-pigal o'olam ma'alam bay. There's always me'ila by carbon pigal. My lav. Isn't this brisa, by using the word lo'olam, coming to teach us the lo'y zorak? That even though zrika was not done, that even though zrika was not done, or just shchita was done, that the halacha is that as long as the kabbalah was done right, then it's subject to mila. Otherwise, it is not subject to mila. V'shmamina, and the Bryce is teaching us that the defining moment is hetas zrika shnina. That as long as the zrika was done, as long as the kabbalah was done right, that's all that counts. So again, Hapigal oilama alambay. Lav, doesn't this price mean the loy zarak? As long as the zrika, even though you didn't do zrika, if you did kabbalah, it's subject, it's, if you did kabbalah properly, it won't be subject. And if you didn't do kabbalah properly, it will be subject. Says my loy. It's talking about zarka. That even the zrika was done. And only if the zrika was done, when it's pigal, that's when it's subject to mila. Were the zrika done properly, it would not be subject to mila. I, if that's the case, what does it mean la'olam? What does the Brisa come to teach us the word la'olam? Answers the Gemara, what we learned in the previous shiurim. Ha'kamashmal kegir of Gittel. The Brisa wants to teach us the din there of Gittel Amarav taught us. Damar of Gittel Amarav. Zrikas pigal ene moitzim de mi'ila. If the zrika was done when mechsheves pigal, and it's kachi kachim, even though when zrika normally is done, it removes it from mila, here it won't. And furthermore, ain't mevil de mila, kachim kalim after the zrika, normally the emerim become susceptible to mila, these will not become susceptible to mila. But it has nothing to do with our issue, what is the defining moment, is it kabbalah or zrika? It's just coming to teach us the din that is about zrika's pigal that Rav Gittel taught us. So we still remain with our question, what is the moment that if the avoid was done properly, it will no longer be subject to mi'ila? Is it the shechita, the kabbalah, or the zrika?